In the 6th, 7th, and 8th chapters of Genesis, we learn that the world was then destroyed by water. That is, the inhabitants of the world were drowned. Listen now to what the Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. He wrote, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat?" When we inquire as to why the inhabitants of the world were destroyed by water, described by Genesis 6 through 8, we see that mankind had become exceedingly sinful. Man was made upright in the very image of God, but man chose to rebel against God. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 reads, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." In other words, mankind was steeped in sin. God observed the corruption of the race, and he was grieved in his heart. The creature who was made in God's image had become most perverse and ungodlike. The creature capable of being most sublime and noble had become God's greatest rebel. It saddened God that he made man. In Genesis 6 and verse 7, we read, "And Jehovah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the ground." God is good. He is eternal in his goodness. And many have assumed that the goodness of God is so great that he would never destroy his creature. But it must be remembered that God is also severe. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul stated in Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. Paul wrote, "Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fail, severity, but toward you goodness if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will be cut off." Divine justice demands punishment. Man had become so wicked that Jehovah determined to destroy mankind. But it is stated that Noah found favor, that is grace, in the eyes of Jehovah. Noah was a righteous man and perfect in his generation. He walked with God. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, we learn that God spared not the ancient world, but preserved Noah with seven others, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." God then gave Noah specific instructions for the construction of the ark. It was to be made of gopher wood, pitched within and without, with lower, second, and third stories. The length of the ark was 300 cubits. It was 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. Other specifications can be observed by reading Genesis chapter 6. When we get to the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, we read that by faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Faith was produced in Noah's heart in the same manner that faith is produced in any person's heart today. Paul states in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "Then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." God spoke, Noah heard and believed. So likewise we too must hear and believe. No, we're not to construct an ark. We have not been told to do that like Noah was, but we must do whatever the Lord commands us as a stipulation in the New Testament that guides us today. What did Noah believe? He believed that God would destroy the world, that the destruction would be affected by a flood of waters, and that his only salvation lay in his obedience to the command of God. God had a law for Noah: build the ark according to my instructions. Noah accepted and obeyed the commandment of God. And as noted already, Noah prepared an ark. He did what Jehovah asked him to do. Faith that does not obey is a dead faith. In James chapter 2 and verse 26, we read, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Dead faith is useless. It's worthless. Given mental or even verbal assent to a thing is of no practical worth unless it is reinforced by worthy action, obedient action. It takes more than just saying, "I believe in God." It takes an obedient response to whatever the Lord tells us to do. Sometimes we hear teachers say, "Just believe in the Lord and you will be saved." By that, they mean that there's nothing required of you to do as far as obedience. But surely faith is essential to one's salvation. But faith alone, or by itself, will never save anyone. The Bible doesn't teach that. A dead or inactive faith will never save any of us. Noah's faith would have never saved him and his house. Had it been a passive thing, Noah possessed the type of faith that takes God at his word and lovingly and sincerely renders obedience to all the commandments of God. God spoke and Noah moved. He acted upon God's command. Remember Hebrews 11 and verse 7, which is stated that Noah moved with godly fear. Noah was instructed to build an ark. If he had built anything else, God would not have been pleased with that. Noah was instructed to build the ark out of gopher wood. Had he used pine or oak or any other kind of wood other than gopher, then God would not have been pleased. Noah would not have been acting by faith. Since faith comes by hearing God's word, Noah could not substitute anything else. Noah could have responded that the type of wood really wasn't that important. It really was non-essential. Perhaps there being a scarcity of gopher wood in his day, a substitute, though, could have never been used and pleased God. But my friends, God has never, ever accepted any substitutes to what he commands. We must pay attention to what God says. We must be obedient to his word. He has all authority. Noah was not walking by human reason. He walked with God and he acted by faith, and that made him well-pleasing to God. We cannot please God without faith, and it must be an obedient faith, a faith that obeys God's command. The faithful action of Noah served to condemn the world. When one gives heed to the will of God, he or she, by their conduct, condemns those who refuse to give heed. Noah was a man of righteousness. He was right with God. Being right with God, he stood on God's side. The sinful generation in which Noah lived stood opposed to God. They stood in wickedness and sin. Thus, righteous Noah condemned sinful mankind. Again, Hebrews 11 and verse 7, the inspired writer is affirming this very thing. The ark is a true type of the salvation that is now offered to each one today. The means of salvation provided by God for Noah and the consequent condemnation upon the rest of the world finds its true antitype in Christ Jesus and the gospel. Listen to what the Apostle Peter wrote in the King James Version in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism does now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How is baptism a true likeness of the flood? It was the flood that transported the family of Noah from a wicked environment into a cleansed and purified world. Likewise, scriptural baptism, immersion in water, is a transportation from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Christ. One who has been scripturally baptized for the correct reason in the correct manner comes into Jesus Christ. Listen to the Apostle Paul. He wrote, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Therein is the true likeness. The flood waters separated Noah from the then evil world. The evil world around him was destroyed by water. Why did God choose this manner to deal with sin? I can't answer or explain that. That's in the mind of God. All we can do is accept what God has said and do it. Just be obedient. Why did God choose baptism as the place of forgiveness? Again, I don't have all the answers to this. I only know that the Lord said in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And if we have the faith in Jesus Christ, we will move quickly to be obedient to what he commands us to do. You cannot become his child unless you're born again in his family. And Jesus states that birth is to be of spiritual nature and of water in John 3:5. It is amazing, isn't it, how each scripture agrees 100% with the other scripture. That is, if we apply them correctly. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If so, why not become a child of God by being obedient to the commands that were given by God? Repent of your past sins and then be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. The Lord will then add you to his church, his body, the family of God. Then worship and serve him and be faithful for the rest of your life. Remember, heaven is a place prepared for people that are obedient to God, who are faithful to God. And it's being prepared right now. At this time, I would like to ask you another question in regard to our lesson on Noah and the flood. And the question is, what would you have done if you'd been Noah? Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Would you have found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Genesis 6:8 reads, "But Noah found favor," that is grace, "in the eyes of Jehovah." Noah stood above his environment. So what if everyone else is doing it? The word righteous or just in the King James Version has to do with being rigid. Noah did not bend or weave or wave. He stood firm. He had his convictions at home, work, play, whatever. Perhaps the people around him were calling on him to do what they do. And never mind Jehovah God. The scripture says that Noah walked with God, Genesis 6:9. How is that possible? It was not in a fleshly relationship. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, we learn, "We walk by faith, not by sight. And since faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," Romans 10:17, it follows that Noah walked as God instructed or told him to walk. In Amos 3:3, the Bible states, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" Thus Noah agreed with God. He walked with God. Man must take God at his word and by faith do what God says. That's exactly what Noah did. My friend, are you walking with God? Do you listen to what the Lord tells you to do? If you really care about God, if you really love him, if you really care about going to heaven after this life, then we will do what the will of the Lord says. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Please think about these things. Please contemplate the scriptures. Please look at scriptures for all the answers. This is Steve Peeler, the evangelist for the West Main Church of Christ in Franklin. Thank you so much for listening to our radio program.